Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 603, Halo Xhanced, recorded live on November 8th, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
And I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we are back with some Xbox One X goodness, which launched just yesterday when we are doing this podcast. So a lot of updated graphics for all the Halos, most specifically Halo 5 Guardians, Halo Wars 2, and Halo 3. I do not have an Xbox One, but GT does, so he's going to be leading the charge on that discussion for tonight. Oh, how the tables have turned.
Aha. Uh-huh.
It'll be good.
Random luck that I actually got one. It just so happened
how that so?
I had the money to purchase it when it came up for sale.
Great.
So it worked out for me.
That's awesome. Well, you'll get to be our frontline reporter on how it looks on Xbox One. I do not have an Xbox One because I am going to wait until there's a Halo console version of it. Or maybe eventually get pressured into getting one, depending on how long it takes for a Halo 6 version of the Xbox One X to come out.
See, that's the one thing I don't know. I don't know that they're going to do an X version for Halo 6.
So they've done console versions of, or Halo versions of every console since it's launched. There was the Halo 1 edition. There's the Halo 2 Blue edition. There's the Halo 3 ODST one, the Reach one, the 4 one, and the Halo 5 one. So it makes sense that there would be a Halo 6.
But they only had one console model at the time.
No. The Xbox 360 had the standard and the slim.
Not for all those games. Not for Halo 3. The slim wasn't around yet.
Right.
Matter of fact, shortly before Halo 3 came out, the Elite launched. That was their high-end console.
Well, the Elite just had a bigger hard drive, right?
Bigger hard drive, and then it also had an HDMI port coming off the back of it. The original Xboxes did not. Or the original 360s didn't. They were only component.
I mean, I think there would be...
Well, if they were wouldn't be a demand for it, but I would be surprised if they do an Xbox One X as a themed console.
I don't see why they wouldn't push it, though. Yeah, Laird, the Halo 3 was I don't know what Jasper model means. I'm guessing that's with the HDMI port. And yeah, Reach and 4 were the slim models.
The generation of the Xbox.
Okay.
But
hey, York, how's it going? I don't know.
What I'm saying is, in the past, the Halo consoles, you know, to get the themed console, you gave up something. You know, in the case of the 360, you could either get the Elite or you could get the Halo 3 console. They were both the same price, but the Elite console came with a 120 gig hard drive.
So you think if they were to do a Halo 6 themed console, it'd be an Xbox One or Xbox One Slim?
I think it'd probably be an S, yes.
You're just trying to get me to buy an X, aren't you?
They might. You know, being the flagship game, they might do it. But I don't see it happening. But, you know, I've been wrong before.
I would hope they would have a Halo version of the X.
It would give me a reason to buy another one.
Or trade. You could trade your current X in for the Halo X.
No, I'm keeping this one.
Okay.
I got the Scorpio Edition one. I'm keeping it.
Yeah. Did you trade in your old console for... Okay.
No, I still have all my consoles.
The Scorpio is the one that has the little display on the front, right?
No. All that it says is Project Scorpio on the front. That's the only difference other than the box that it comes in.
I would possibly trade in my original Xbox One. Because it was a day one, air quotes, edition. And the only thing that says day one on it is the controller.
I have a day one Xbox as well. Lives in my bedroom. And then I have the Halo 5 console. And now I have the Xbox One. Those are all the Xbox Ones that I own. And then with 360s, I have an Elite, a Halo 3, and a Halo 4.
I would hope that they would just do a Halo 6 Xbox One X, though. If I had to, though. And the other thing is, Halo 6 likely isn't coming out until 2019 anyways. So if I do bite the bullet on getting an X, like if there's some crazy deal during the holidays that might entice me to trade in my Xbox One day one console to get that, I may jump on it. Because it's $500, right? The X.
Yeah, $499. Can I recommend you go out and buy an Xbox One X? No. I personally bought it because it was a Scorpio edition and I had the money. And I like the shorter load times that it gives you. Does it give you any advantage in a multiplayer game? No.
Well, increased graphical fidelity.
If you're running a 4K monitor. I'm not. If you are all out, want the best possible picture you can possibly get in a game, yeah, go buy an Xbox One X. But remember that you're going to have to shell out some cash for a high-end television to take full advantage of it.
Not too much. I bought my 4K TV for $800.
Yeah, but it's not an HDR TV. Or monitor.
I have to check.
Is it a TV or is it a monitor?
Well, I have a TV and a monitor. The monitor, I don't think is.
I know the monitor isn't because they just released the first HDR monitors in the last couple of months. And the TV, I doubt it.
I can go check my Amazon purchase. It may not be.
Because the HDR televisions are definitely more. I think the cheapest one I've seen was $1,500.
Yikes.
And there's only certain televisions that have the right HDR on them. There are multiple versions of HDR.
Oh, like the latest that supports 4K or whatever.
Well, they haven't really got a standard on the HDR yet because it's such a new technology.
Okay. That makes sense. They're still trying to figure it out.
But Laird, it's been a little while since I looked for one. Laird's correcting me. He says you can get them for $1,000. Still, it's $1,000.
I'm trying to remember where I bought it because it wasn't on my Amazon stuff. Yeah, I can't remember.
Oh, that, and also, you know, invest in a Dolby Atmos system.
Yeah, the sound system itself would be quite a bit.
Well, the Atmos system can be as cheap as you want it or as expensive as you want it because it has a wide range of available configuration. You can do it with as little as 6 speakers or 20 plus speakers.
20 plus, dang. I've heard of 9.1 surround, but I haven't heard of 20 separate speakers. Gosh, I wonder what that configuration looks like.
A whole lot of boxes.
Well, yeah.
Those are, you know, a 20 speaker system are for large room. You know, this isn't something
that's like theater rooms.
Like you have large living rooms that are, you know, you have an open living dining area, stuff like that. You know, something that you have a lot of space that you need to fill.
So yeah, the TV I have is UHD and HDR. Maybe I bought it for $900. It's $900 right now on Best Buy. And that may have been where I bought it. But yeah, it's the Sony Bravia. And yeah, it's 4K UHD and HDR.
So you could benefit from it. But I'll tell you right now that I'm running it on a 1080p monitor. And
it really looks better.
Halo 5 looks absolutely awesome. There is a visible difference in Halo 5 between my regular Xbox One and the X.
That's good to hear.
I, you know, overall, I'm very pleased with my purchase so far.
I wonder if the sampling has something to do with that.
Well, it's, you know, they did say that 1080p games would benefit from the additional hardware that the X has. You know, the extra memory and the better processor. So I think the way it works is it still produces the 4K content, but it downscales it to 1080p.
So you have a more crisp image, but you're not getting the 4K signal out of it. That makes sense.
And, you know, Haas asked me earlier if I had a 4K monitor. No, I don't. And I'm not going to get one for a while. Because if, you know, to do a 4K monitor with the way my setup is, I have to get some type of 4K capture device, pass-through capture device, so that my capture device doesn't choke the signal down to 1080p. Because max resolution for both my capture devices is 1080p.
Do they even make 4K capture cards that are consumer level?
Yeah. IO or something like that. But that one, it's an external capture card. The ones I've seen, you know, they plug into USB 3, but you have to run a splitter on them. You have to split the HDMI signal. One goes to the capture card, one goes to your monitor.
Oh, Elgato has one. Holy crap, it's $400. And it comes out in 2 weeks. Dang. And I found the AVIO one that you mentioned. That's $500. So the Elgato already has $100 on it.
Now, something I might do before I go 4K is I might replace the monitor with a monitor that supports VSync. If I notice any tearing or anything like that in the picture. Which I didn't on the original Xbox, so we'll see how it works on the X.
And while I was searching on Amazon, I found the one that they used at E3 this year to record 4K content, and that was the Atmos Ninja Inferno. And that thing is $1,000. But you actually have a touchscreen on there, and it's meant to be like a more like a recording monitor. These things are expensive. Not like anyone has the bandwidth to actually watch 4K streams anyways. Well, Larry does.
You know, I could watch a 4K stream if I wanted to, if I had a 4K monitor. I mean, that's the only thing that really limits me right now. And I don't see a reason for 4K. Heck, the only reason I bought a Blu-ray drive for my computer is because it cost me $15. It was on sale.
And even the way of discs is kind of going to the wayside. But there are all the streaming services and everything else.
I mean, all the streaming services, if you want 4K content, it costs you extra money.
Well, extra money for a subscription versus paying, what, 25? Well, I guess there's not many 4K Blu-rays out there yet.
No, most Blu-rays are just
1080p.
1080p. Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, that's why I got a Blu-ray drive, is because I've been taking my movies and, you know, the movies I get, instead of buying the DVD, we've been buying the Blu-ray, and I rip those and put them on my local media server.
You use Handbrake for that?
No, actually, I use a program called Make MKV.
Oh. They actually have a decryptor with that for Blu-ray? Oh, I'll have to recheck that one out. I've just been using Handbrake.
It works awesome. I mean, it's a point-and-click ripper. It's nothing like, you know, Handbrake. Don't get me wrong, Handbrake's a great program, but it takes some time to get it set up right. With this Make MKV, you basically pick the file you want to rip, and it has a little drop-down menu, and you can tell it that you only want the English subtitles, or you don't want any subtitles, or you want the French subtitles.
And now that Windows actually supports MKVs, that's a lot easier to actually manage.
Yeah. The playback quality is absolutely beautiful. I mean, even on older hardware like the Xbox 360, you know, I run a Plex server and it all streams over my network and it works great.
I'm going to have to check that out.
I mean, if you want to do Blu-rays, it's going to cost you money.
Oh, okay. So it's not free.
It's like $40, but it's worth it, man. Just literally, you put the disc in, you say open discs, it decrypts the disc, you pick the file you want to rip, and you push a button that says rip or make MKV, and it just rips it. Then it dings at you when you're done.
I'll definitely check that out. Back to Halo, since we were diverging to that, with the 4K stuff. You had experience with the Halo on Xbox One X so far, and you said that you didn't have a 4K monitor, but you've been playing around with it. So what are some of the stuff that sticks out to you with the new updates, the Halo 5, and I guess Halo Wars 2, if you've dove into that yet?
I haven't dove into Halo Wars 2 yet, not on the Xbox at least. The game, it moves so much better. I mean, the visuals are nice, but just actual load time is cut down with the higher speed hard drive. You know, they should have had that hard drive in the original Xbox One.
What kind of hard drive is it now? Is it
a 7200 RPM, 1 terabyte drive. I don't think it's a hybrid drive. I think it's just a standard hard drive, you know, a laptop drive. In one game, it's made a huge difference, and I know this is a Halo podcast, but bear with me. It has cut probably a minute off the load time of Destiny.
Wow. That's pretty significant.
And for anybody that has played the game, you know that initial load is excruciatingly long. In Halo 5... it's probably cut a third of the time off of the load time. You know, it's enough that it's noticeably faster.
I bet it really sucks when you get into matchmaking, though, and you have to wait on all the other people that have their slow consoles.
Well, I mean, really, in matchmaking, it doesn't matter what kind of hardware you're going to have, because everybody has different internet speeds, and that's what regulates matchmaking, is the people that you're playing their internet speeds.
Well, they have to load the map on the local console, too.
Which is more tied to the internet than the speed of the hard drive.
Huh? Well, no. So, like, once you get to step 4, you know, where you're, like, waiting for the progress bar to start moving? Isn't that when everyone's loading the map?
That's when, well, two things are happening. They're syncing all the Xboxes and loading the map information.
I figured that map load would be a while, though.
Well, I mean, honestly, really, all it's doing is transmitting the map settings to the Xbox, because the map itself is already on the hard drive. It's just saying you need to pick this map, and these are the settings to use.
Well, the map still has to load into RAM. Yeah, that's just what I'm saying.
That's not going to... you're not going to see a huge improvement in that. Now, if you're playing, you know, using the new Halo 5 app, or the Halo 5 server app, you would notice a difference if everybody was on Xbox Ones, you know, and then you had everybody on regular Xboxes. You would notice a load time difference, because then the net's not the choke point.
Which that's out too. When we did a podcast last week, it actually wasn't out yet. So the app's actually out, so we can talk about that in a little bit.
The actual visuals in the game, it looks just a lot cleaner. The colors seem to be more defined. You know, my wallpaper that I use even looks better.
Wow. And that's just on your dashboard.
Yeah, that's just on the dashboard. You know, the tiles look better. The text looks cleaner. So, yeah, I'm really impressed with it. Is it worth spending another $400 on it? Not in the least amount. Personally, I look at it this way. I was going to buy a Slim anyway and move one of my other consoles down into my living room and retire the old Halo 3 Xbox, because she's getting tired. So I was going to spend $250 anyway.
Why not spend a little extra to get the latest and greatest?
You know, so I only spent an extra $250 of money that I was going to spend anyway.
Okay.
I'm not justifying it, but it made sense to me. you know, I get an upgrade and I still get to move, you know, I still get an Xbox in the living room.
Very nice. Have you gotten to do anything else other than Halo 5 on your X?
Well, before the stream, I was goofing around in Halo 4, the back compat, and it looks good. I'll have to fire it up on 360 to know if there's any real changes to it. I had no doubt that Halo 4 was good look good.
Well, anything that has a little bit higher render capability hopefully would look a little bit better.
Seeing this was my initial load of Halo 4, it took longer than normal because it had to sync all the data and everything, so I can't really attest to load time. But it seemed to move quicker this time than it did the last time I did the first load. But that's been several months ago, so... Or, well, it's been, what, two, three months ago, something like that.
I do wish on the Xbox consoles, and hopefully at some point in the future they might allow this, but for you to install your own hard drive in the console.
I would just like them to have the ability to change the hard drive in the console like they did on the 360s.
Let me have my solid state if I want solid state. Let me have my 4 gig or 4 terabyte if I want a 4 terabyte drive in there.
On the original Xbox One, there is an adapter that you can buy where you can put your own hard drive on the system. Not in the system, but on the system. It uses that side USB 3 port and you basically just build your own thumb drive out of a hard drive. And, you know, if you want to put a solid state drive in there, you can. And it fits in with the aesthetics of the original Xbox.
Huh, that's kind of cool. It's still an external device, though. It's not.
Yeah, it's still an external device. But, and here's the but, the USB 3.0 connection is actually faster than the SATA connection inside the Xbox.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. So
it does make your Xbox about an inch wider.
Is the the USB 3 port only the one that's on the side and not the ones on the back?
No, they're all USB 3 ports. Yeah, they're all USB 3 ports. They're just not blue.
Gotcha.
But, you know, I was considering buying one of those, and then they, you know, and then they announced the Halo 4 or the Halo 5 console, which had a bigger hard drive in it anyway. So I was like, yeah. No, I don't need that now.
So remember that 5 terabyte drive that Major Nelson tweeted about 2 Christmases ago for the X? So I didn't, or not the X, the Xbox One. So I bought it, and I didn't use it for my Xbox, but I used it for my computer. I've almost filled that thing up.
Well, let's put it this way. I have a 6 terabyte external drive on my server that I was using to back up my 6 terabyte drive in my server. I got to the point where I had to clean off the external drive and move stuff onto it to make room on my 6 terabyte drive that's in my server.
Oh, data cleanup.
I've got over 6 terabytes of stuff. Now, granted, probably 3 terabytes of that are system backups. You know, backing up my desktop and backing up my laptop and my wife's laptop. Probably get three and a half terabytes of that is system backup. But, you know, I want to have that option there if I need it.
Yeah, that's something that I would like to have configured at some point. I don't have it yet. And same thing with my network as well, wanting to do Mac filtering and having multiple access points. I could understand having 3.5 terabytes just from backups. It takes a lot to back up computers these days. A lot of space.
My goal for my server is to have something with 6 or 8 drives in it, you know, in a RAID configuration for my network storage and for backup for all my systems.
I have currently on my wedding registry a NAS. I think it's a 4-bay NAS, and I have 4 4-terabyte Western Digital Reds. on my wedding registry.
You do understand that the wedding gifts are supposed to be for both of you?
They will be for both of us. She's just interested in playing games, and we need to back up our videos.
Yeah, I don't think that qualifies. But nice try.
I've cleared it by her. She's okay with it.
Well, I should hope she's okay with it if it's on the wedding register.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've looked at, you know, even buying some X Enterprise stuff to run. But, you know, everything I find, it's just, it's too freaking power hungry. I mean, you know, I want to run a server, but I don't want to go into debt running it.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I'm experimenting now with the Halo server on Azure. It's just kind of seeing how expensive it is to run and with some of the donations we get, see if it's something that's maintainable. And right now I'm only looking at a server that's supposedly less than $15 a month, which is pretty doable.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's okay.
At least until I get my own server set up.
Yeah. I'm kind of particular. I don't like my stuff out in the ether any more than it has to be.
Well, I mean, all I have is two games installed and config files for those specific games and maps.
Well, you know, I understand, you know, and if I was running a server like that, I wouldn't have a problem with it. But, you know, on my home server, I have more than just.
Oh, okay. Movies. I see what you mean. Yeah.
There's personal information on that server.
Yeah, backups.
You know, I want to keep that stuff local. You know, I don't want to. Kind of the reason I keep all the movies on the server is backup for, you know, when the internet's down or something like that. Because my internet and my cable, they come through the same pipe. So if it goes down, I lose all of it. And it's a nice backup to have, you know, be able to just fire up the Plex server and watch personal movies. And, you know, they're movies I really like watching over and over again, which, you know, this all this has absolutely nothing to do with Halo.
Well, with how little there is in Halo this week, it's kind of up for grabs.
Yeah. But, you know, it would be nice if Xbox would make it to where you could store your games on a local server instead of plugging in an external hard drive.
So download it once and then be able to re-download it to any other console that's on your network?
No, play over the network.
Oh.
You know, for people that have a NAS or a local server, they can store the game on the server. And then you play over the network. Because, you know, pretty much everything's gigabit network now. So you shouldn't have any real latency problems with streaming a game like that.
I guess as long as the port on the console is a 1 gigabit port, then yeah, you wouldn't have a problem trying to stream that over the network.
Yeah, I believe the ports on the Xbox Ones are gigabit ports.
Interesting.
Well, I know it has to be more than a gigabit, more than 100 meg, because I was transferring games at 250 to 500 megabytes.
So yeah, that has to be a gig connection. That has to be.
Well, yeah, that was running through a switch that I've got right here in the office with me. It wasn't even going down to my main router. Well, at least I don't think it was.
Well, the router is probably controlling the traffic at some point.
But, you know, still, yeah, I was transferring games at 250 to 500 megabytes.
Very nice.
I mean, the little apps would transfer so fast, I'd blink and miss it. I'm not joking.
I believe you.
It took about a second and a half for it to transfer the transfer the Netflix app.
And I guess all the settings with it, right?
You still have to go back in and re-log into it.
Oh, that kind of sucks. I mean, it makes sense, but it still kind of sucks.
Well, that's pretty much with any Windows device. That's kind of the way it is. Even with the Windows Phone, even if you restore from a good backup, you still have to go back in and sign into everything. they don't store your sign-in information in a backup or in the application data itself.
This is going to get a little technical for a minute, but Windows has, for like domain accounts, you have roaming profiles. So a lot of your settings would come with you wherever you log in. So you could basically log into one computer, log off, and then log into another computer, and then all the same configuration files that you have would be pulled with you to your other...
I'm not saying that it doesn't exist, but on just their consumer-grade stuff, that's the way it is. I mean, yeah, I know you can set it up to where you can transfer the profile and transfer all the login information and, you know, the internet cookies and everything with you. I mean, I can set it up in Mozilla if I wanted to, but I really don't want to, because I, you know, I'm a stickler for that. I like having control over that information. I don't like people having access to my login data just for my convenience.
That makes sense. I wouldn't want that either.
I mean, you know, if it was something that was necessary for work, I'd have no problem with it. You know, if I was going to multiple sites where I had to log into the same, you know, same information at every site, and then, you know, that was protected behind a password, I wouldn't have a problem with that. You know, it's, I'm going from company site to company site, and I'm, the only information I'm divulging is company information. You know, if they can't secure their own stuff, screw them. But when it comes to my personal information with the state that the digital lifestyle has gotten us to, you have to be pretty vigilant with it. I mean, I'm honestly not even a big fan that my wife's on Facebook just because of the amount of information Facebook stores.
Yeah, I understand that. That's definitely one of those hard sells of where do you draw the line of like convenience of being able to be connected with people versus that sense of privacy, which Facebook doesn't give you much, really.
I will tell you, I do have a Facebook profile, but in no way is it connected to me. And all I use it for is contest entries. That's it.
I mean, makes sense.
I have a junk Twitter handle that I use for contest entries. You know, I have a junk email that I use for stuff like that. You know, and they're all accounts that do not pertain to me at all. You know, there's none of my personal information is on any of those accounts. And it's sad that you have to do that.
But, I mean, if that's the way around it for you to actually be able to participate in some of this stuff, then, yeah, I guess that's the way you'll have to do it.
Well, I mean, the lesson was learned the hard way. You know, I've got email addresses that were my main email addresses that I used for stuff like that, and they are so overrun with junk. I mean, I've got one email address that I used one time for something like that, and I checked it today. And granted, I hadn't checked it in about a week. There were 1,500 junk messages in it.
Whoa. I've had an AOL account. I've never had that many before.
It's gotten Jeez. Bad. And my other junk accounts? Yeah. You wouldn't believe the crap that I get sent.
Oh, gosh. Yikes.
And the only reason I check that one account is there are organizations that have that email address that I do keep in contact with that I don't want them to have my main address. Just because they can get really annoying.
I can understand how.
Well, I mean, one of the organizations is Bikers for Babies. It's a March of Dimes. It's an annual March of Dimes motorcycle ride. We raise money for the March of Dimes. And it's grown to be an absolutely huge fundraiser for March of Dimes. The last year that I participated in it, they raised $70,000 for the March of Dimes.
That's pretty good.
And it, you know, it was all donated on one day, but everybody participating Whoa. In the ride brought it all to, they hold it out at the Kansas Speedway, and they collected all that money in one day. They've got one group, which is their pretty much every year, it's their top tier. that year they brought $20,000 in cash.
What?
Yeah. Pretty much that's the reaction everybody in the place had.
Talk about walking up with a briefcase.
Oh, no, they didn't walk it up in briefcases. They walked it up in trash bags.
And that didn't look at all suspicious.
Well, they weren't trying to hide it, and nobody's going to screw with these guys. Because most of them are ex-military, and they also have several police officers that are part of their group. And I guarantee you, every single one of them was armed.
I bet you they were.
They weren't wearing the leather jackets just to look cool. But, you know, it's... Nah, whatever. It's just, you know, something I do.
No, that makes sense. I have a couple of junk emails accounts, but I don't have any junk social media accounts. But that does get me thinking that maybe I should possibly start investing in doing something like that. Your lifestyle education for the day brought to you by Godzilla Todd.
Bet you didn't see that one coming.
No. Oh. Well, I did kind of give you the reins over the podcast tonight since you're the one with the Xbox One X, so.
Well, that's kind of way off the topic of an Xbox.
Yeah, well, there's not much else to talk about. Even Reddit's kind of dry today.
Yeah. You know, one thing I do want to.
There's not much going on.
The one thing I do want to say is I want to express my heartfelt regret to Stefan Tollhaus, his family and friends. He passed away, was it last week, October 27th, I think it was.
And just so other people know, he's known by Steptoe.
Yeah, his gamer tag was Steptoe. He was one of the co-hosts of Major Nelson's podcast, with Major Nelson's Radio. He also was He was the head of what department? Oh, the policy enforcement of Xbox Live. So he was the man with the ban hammer.
The real ban hammer.
Yeah. And, you know, it brings the heart, you know, to me as well, because me and Steptoe are the same age. We were born the same year. So to see someone that young go, it really hurts. So I just wanted to extend my my regrets to the family and friends of Steptoe. We do feel for you, and we're praying for you.
Yeah, it's hard to lose someone that's been so influential to the Xbox community, and even within the Halo community, too.
Well, when I started listening to Major Nelson Radio, he was on there, and he always had a different point of view.
Which is good for commentary.
Yeah, well, I think he did it on purpose, just to piss E off. But he was a good guy. Unfortunately, he got dealt a bad set of cards when it came to the health in the last few years. So sorry to see him go.
And to answer you, York, I don't think either of us know what exactly happened to Steptoe. Hanno, do you know, GT? I don't know anything.
I don't know exactly what caused his death. I know a couple of years ago, if I remember right, he was in a coma for about 4 months, 4 or 5 months, something like that. Just an unexplained coma. So it may be related to that, but I'm not sure. I don't generally keep up with people's personal life because it's their personal life.
Makes sense.
But he will be missed.
Yes, he will. He did a lot for the Xbox community.
I was sad to see him leave Xbox or leave Microsoft and leave Major Nelson's podcast, because it was fun just listening to his point of view.
He definitely added some liveliness to the show. And you're right, he did kind of make things interesting. But it's definitely hard to hear. Best wishes with the family. Steptoe, you were just a very great person. I didn't get a chance to meet you. I have had a chance to meet E and Major Nelson, though. Best wishes to you out there and for your family. All right. Well, on that somber note, should we go ahead and wrap up?
Well, is there anybody in the chat that has a question about the Xbox One X?
Yes, because GT can answer it. I cannot.
Well, I can try to answer it.
You will try to answer it.
I will not. I've got a whole 2.5 hours of playtime on it, so I haven't quite played with everything on the Xbox just yet.
I will say we were trying to figure out what the install sizes differences were between the Xbox One and the Xbox One X version of Halo 5. And we hadn't noticed anything. I think there's still some updates that GT was downloading, and then Laird was also downloading some stuff. As far as I know, the current install of Halo 5 at the time of the launch of Xbox One X was 106 gigs. A patch just came out either yesterday or today that actually takes 10 gigs away from the install. How they did that, I have no idea. Maybe improve some compression or whatever. So the install on the Xbox One version for Halo 5 is currently at 96.1 gigs. And I don't know how big that is for the Xbox One X version with all the 4K content that is available with it.
Well, currently on the Xbox One X, which I do believe I have the 4K update installed, it's 97.3 gigs.
Really? So a whole 1.2 gig difference. That's not much.
I think that the differences on that are due to packs that I have, you know, add-ons. I don't think that's a true game difference.
Laird was saying his is 97 as well on his One X. Because I have all
I have not the DLC. Installed the updates on my original Xbox yet, and it's setting at 106.6 gigabytes.
Yeah, so that's before the patch, the latest patch.
And guess what? I have an update for Halo 5 Guardians. Imagine that.
It's going to remove 10 gigs for you. Or 10.5, technically.
That's good.
So, I guess it's just using the same textures as currently in the game. And I'm not sure what the other 1.2 gigs are. They're just saying the new hotfix makes it 97.4 gigs. I'm not sure why mine's only 96.1 then. And I think I have everything installed. I don't think there's anything I don't have installed for Halo 5.
Like I said, and there's some add-ons, like, you know, there are some different packs that it shows that it downloads. So I don't know. You know, like the Voices of War pack, things like that.
Sure. All the packs should be included in the game, though, because all the content's free. Minus the, I guess, like the Voices of Reach rec pack or whatever. But I think those are all in the game. It's just the pack unlocks the ability to use it. So all the installs should be the same given the console platform. So like the install for any Xbox One console would be the same, and then any Xbox One X console would be the same.
All I know is it transferred over some packs that actually have size to them. I mean, you know, it's a few megabytes a piece, but...
So we'll have a little bit more accurate number next week, and we'll report on that then.
Okay, York. I can tell you right now, the Xbox One X does get hot. You do not want to put your hand behind it, or it gets fried. Not really, but it gets really warm back there. So if you do purchase one, you want to make sure you have plenty of airspace around it. As far as getting hotter... it's a more focused heat coming out of the air vents than on my original Xbox. And I don't know on an S on the One S because I don't own one.
So I saw an unboxing of the X, and there's only vents on the sides now.
No, there's vents on the sides. That's where the air intake is, and it exhausts out the back.
Right. But like, there's not the fan on the top.
No, there's no fan on top. The top and bottom are solid. The front solid, with the exception of the DVD or the Blu-ray slit or Blu-ray drive. All the air intake vents are on the air intake vents are on either end, and the exhaust vents on the back.
So it almost sounds like it's more of a traditional laptop cooling system.
Well, it is. The cooling system they use in it is a vapor chamber cooling system, which is used in a lot of your higher end laptops.
Basically, make sure it has plenty of airspace, make sure it has good ventilation, and you can make some scrambled eggs on it.
Oh, yeah.
And as Larry said, it's a lot heavier.
Oh, it is. It's a beast when it comes to weight.
Thanks for the question, York. Giveaway time. We are going to be giving away the two existing Halo plushes. I guess there's technically have been some more, but the two big ones, the Grunt plush and the Plasma Grenade plush, we are going to be giving away for this episode. So I'm going to go ahead and pull the list of people in the chat, and we're going to see who is going to don the Pins mask for tonight. Maybe Pins will get lucky and it'll be him. How much do you think with Pins might win it this time?
I don't know. It depends on how rigged it is.
We will see. All right. On to random.org. Let me see. Let me pull the list of people. Vader never got in here, did he? He said he was going to tweet and pop in here, but he never popped in here. Got the viewers. And let's see what we got. So there's four in here. Going to generate some numbers. All right. Number two is... Well, we got a double winner here. Laird! Laird for a Grunt plushie and a Plasma Grenade plush. How about them apples?
Hey.
All right, Laird, do you want set? Oh, wait, Confell's there. Oh, I didn't notice him in there.
Nah, the list probably didn't update.
Dang it. Oh, now he shows up, of course. Should I re-roll?
He says give it to someone else, anyone else.
We'll re-roll. All right, so Confell's in here. I don't know. Laird might get a double whammy here, even with getting the update with Confell. All right, so let's see who do we get. All right, and drumroll says, hey, it's Pins.
Pins, yay! The Pins, mask still works.
It has come back with a vengeance. So, Pins, do you want said plushes, or should I roll again for some other people? It's the Grunt plushie and the Plasma Grenade plush. And while we wait for him to respond, roll for 20. I do have a large D20 somewhere. Oh, it's sitting up there. You guys can't see it on the stream, but I have a shelf up there with some stuff on it, and I have a Loot Crate D20. That's sitting up there. So we'll wait for Pins to come back and see if he wants those. And if not, we will re-roll. Make sure you check us out on our social media platforms. We have our YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Mixer, Twitch, Discord, Xbox Club, Spartan Company, all that fun stuff. Just search for Podtacular and you'll find us across the web. Make sure you check out our podcast network. We're part of thepodcast.com and it includes podcasts such as Guardian Radio, Critcast, Podcast 76, The Learning Cliff, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can check out all those podcasts over at thepodcast.com. And apparently, Pin's wife is getting a little perturbed with some of the Halo stuff that's around the house. So we're going to roll again, for the third time, and we'll see how this plays out. Random.org is going to choose Uncle York.
Hey!
There's no such thing as too much Halo stuff, Pins. No such thing as too much Halo stuff.
There is when your wife says there is.
Yeah, I'm going to have to face that reality soon, aren't I?
Yeah. You'll find that wives only will take hobbies only so long.
But what if it becomes her hobby too?
If it becomes her hobby, you're okay. But trust me, it probably won't stay her hobby.
Yeah, true point. Bobby, that's a good point too. I just haven't bother to get any kind of bot to do any kind of giveaway automated stuff. So I just find it easier to do the random.org thing, just taking a list. But yes, you make a very good point. Uncle York, just let me know if you want the plushes, and we will get those out to you. All right, he says he wants them. Good.
Cool.
DM me your address on Twitter, and I'll get that shipped out. Getting back into the outro, GT, I know we were trying to do Achieving Halo last week. We didn't get around to it. When's the next probable time of Achieving Halo to be recorded?
I should be able to do it this weekend. It will be 7 p.m. Saturday evening. I will get a post up on the Xbox Club. So just respond to me there. Or, you know, if you don't get a chance to do that, just hit me up on Twitter or message me on Xbox Live. Either way, you can get me on Twitter at Godzilla Todd, or you can get me on Xbox at Godzilla Space T. And we'll get you into an episode of Achieving Halo.
Sweet. And is that 7 Eastern or 7 Central?
7 Eastern.
Apologize. 7 Eastern. No worries. And we will have a tweet. I'm actually going to make a scheduled tweet before going to bed tonight, so I don't forget. And what missions are you on?
The ones after the last ones I did. Oh, I had it until you asked me. I forgot.
So it's 11 and 12 or 12 and 13? 12 and 13.
Darn. I don't remember now.
I'm trying to look them up online. It is going to be...
It's going to be a hub mission. And then I think it's Battle of Sunion.
Yep. Before the Storm and Battle of Sunion. Then after that is Genesis, The Breaking, and Guardians. So four more different recording sessions for the Halo 5 Achieving Halo series. That's going to wrap it up for us tonight. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Remember, we are giving something away during every live show that we're going to be doing from here on until the end of the year. Make sure you tell your friends. We're also going to be doing some giveaways on social media as well. Closer around the Thanksgiving and the Christmas holidays as well. So make sure you are following us on both of those social media outlets, and we'll get that notified to you whenever we start doing those. Also, we are currently at 42 episodes exported. They haven't been uploaded to YouTube yet because I had to work 16 hours this weekend, which was not fun. So I didn't get around to uploading any of them, but we have been churning out a lot of exports, so we'll be getting those uploaded here over the weekend. And we'll probably have up to episode 50, 52-ish done. So basically the first third of what I call season one of Podtacular, which is where Fumo was hosting it, will be up on YouTube, which is kind of putting us in a good place for getting the first 158, maybe first 161 out on YouTube before the end of the year.
That's cool.
I think people will enjoy it. This is another outlet to get the podcast. And then we'll eventually catch up to our current episodes, and then they'll be in sync. Hopefully that'll be kind of no later than the middle of next year. So thanks everyone for tuning into the podcast. Make sure you tell your friends to come on and over and check us out. We stream on Tuesdays normally at 9 p.m. We've been doing a couple Wednesdays, and we'll be shifting that around throughout the holidays just from schedules and whatnot. So make sure you are tuned in to our Twitter and Facebook feeds, and we'll let you know whenever we make those changes. Also, make sure you check us out on Fridays when we do our Fraggin' Fridays with Godzilla T hosting them at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Just send him a message over Xbox Live, and he will get you invited to the party and play some Halo 5 fun.
Well, we'll play any game that the lobby chooses. We don't have to play Halo 5.
That's true. And Halo 3 is getting the nice little Xbox One X treatment for those that are playing
Halo 3
back in pet. Except Halo 3. GT does not want to play Halo 3. And I personally don't blame them.
I tell you what, if I can, if people want to bring customs and want to play Halo 3, I'll do it. Unfortunately, my entire custom library has been lost.
Oh, no.
I had over 200 maps, different types of games and maps saved for Halo 3, and they have all vanished. They are not on any of my memory cards or any of my Xboxes, so I don't know where they went. Yeah, I'm pretty broke up about that. And even worse, my Reach maps disappeared too. So I don't know what I did with them.
Were they in cloud saves?
No, I think I had them on memory cards, but they're not on any of my memory cards, so or my USB drives that I use for my Xbox, so I don't know what happened to them.
Maybe they're on the console hard drives?
Yeah, nope.
That sucks. Well, we'll have to rebuild GT's library for Halo 3.
It's one thing I really wish they still had the file browsers for.
I don't know why they just didn't bring those over to Waypoint. Just migrate the system, do a small patch to the game to update the IPs or domain names or whatever, and just maintain the system.
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, they need to keep those... keep that system up for all of the games, not just their latest and greatest. Because when Halo 6 come out, guess what happens to Halo 5's browser? It's going to get, it's either going to disappear or just get unusable. Because they'll do a website update for Halo 6 and it's going to screw something up.
Yeah, come to think of it, I haven't even gone back to check Halo 4. Do they have a file browser in Halo 4? I can't even remember.
In the game, yes. But not on the website.
Great. Final update for our Podtacular company, and then we'll wrap this show up. We still have quite a few accommodations to get. We are so close to getting our next one completed. That's a level 4, which is Road Trip. We have another, I can do math in my head real quick, 707 to go on getting enemy Spartan kills with a ground vehicle. That's our next closest one. Then our next closest level 5 one is From the Top Rope, which is Kill an Enemy Spartan with a Ground Pound, where we need another 703. So, thanks everyone for tuning in tonight. We will be back next week with another episode, which hopefully will be a little more news-packed. But
been less rambling by Godzilla T.
Well, it would have either been rambling by you or me, so... you just happen to be the one tonight. There is hopefully some news coming. It may just kind of be slow with the holidays from now on out, but we'll get another book done and probably have another book show before the end of the year is out. I gotta decide what book we're doing so GT can listen to the audiobook and so everyone else can read along and have a good discussion in the chat.
And Dust can actually finish the book for the first time, whatever book that happens to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And no, pens, before you say it, not Halsey Journal. Not for a while. All right, everybody. For those that have the Xbox One X, have fun with the new console. Hope it gives you some great updated graphic fidelity and is everything that you had hoped it'd be. Been touted with a lot of stuff out there, so hopefully you were very pleased with the purchase. It sounds like GT is, and it's quite a few others are. Play safe, and we'll see you next week. Keep on fragging the X's.